Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Boge, and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. Hopefully people download it and enjoy it. Thanks for all the feedback from the last few episodes. The Hugula series is over, and it seems like people enjoyed that, but also said, thank goodness that you've stopped reading these books that you don't like. So yeah, let's stick with some more books that I do like. Episode 250, quite a few people enjoyed that as well. So send in any emails if you've got any anything else that you want to say. I do read every email that comes in, and I do also reply to every single email. Luke@juggler.net is how to get hold of me there. So what's today's book? Today's book is one part of a trilogy, a very highly recommended trilogy. Lots of people said, hey, this is the best books that have come out this year. A friend said, oh yeah, it's just great, and I can't wait for the third book to come out, although it has now come out. So this is actually a trilogy of novels. I'm going to just be reviewing the first part by Jeff Vandermeer, called the Southern Reach Trilogy, and it starts with Annihilation. And now what I really like about this kind of, I would say book, but like as a publishing project, is, okay, they say we've got three books here, the story is complete, everything's in place, but we'll release one book, like Annihilation, released in February 2014, the next book, Authority, released in May 2014, Acceptance, released September 2014. So it's one of those books which kind of builds on the hype, but not a trilogy where you have to wait a year in between each book. Another series which was like this was the Darwin Elevator, the Dire Earth Cycle, which I read and reviewed last year and really enjoyed. And one of the things that I really enjoyed is because the book finishes, I was like, hey, I really like that, I want the next one, here it is. And even if I'd read this the Annihilation, the first book in Southern Reach, back in February or March, I'd be like, well, at least I don't have to wait another two full years to get to the end of the story. So that is one big plus point in this series, that I have got to the end of Annihilation, and I'm like, I really want to read the next one. And I will, except, unfortunately, it's not out on Audible yet. So as soon as it comes out on Audible, I'm sure I'll get it. And then Authority, oh no, that's Authority, and then Acceptance will probably pop up there quite soon as well. So this is, yes, part one of the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer. And it's one of those weird things, because I want to talk about what it is, but it's one of those kind of books, it's one of those stories which I like to call a "or is it" kind of story, because everything that happens, you're like, and now this is what's happened, this is the setup, or is it? And then we learn a bit more, and then there's a bit of, or is it? And this is the protagonist, and this is the protagonist's history. Or is it? Certainly with the protagonist, like our narrator, very unreliable narrator, and kind of self-admittedly unreliable. It's sort of like, oh, well, and this is up until this point. Well, I've not been entirely honest in this past, but what actually happened was this, and this is my history, and the reason I'm here is because of this. And then a few chapters later, it's like, well, actually, I haven't really written exactly what happened there. What's more important is this. You know, so I don't know actually how much I can give away, like talk about it without spoiling it, or how much I can say without knowingly lying to you as a listener about what the book is about. So let's just get straight into it. Area X. Let's start there. I made a note here. Area X. Area X is somewhere, I'm guessing, in the southern United States. It's never really quite clear the exact geography or even the country. I can't even remember if the country itself is named. But Area X is where something happened and aliens turned up, maybe, or there was an experiment by the military, maybe, and it created like a new kind of life force, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. But what happens is that there's this area of land, never really explained exactly how big, but quite a sizable chunk of a state, which was once part of a military range, or like a military operations kind of area. Even though people lived there, it was kind of used as a military, as a training ground or a test site or whatever, and something happens and word leaks out that there's something weird going on here, and so this is closed off, and an agency called the Southern Reach kind of is in charge of letting people into and out of Area X and investigating it and things like that. So we learn at the beginning that there's been 11 expeditions into Area X over the last however many years, maybe 30 years, I guess, is the generally accepted timeline for this, even though it's a bit kind of bit vague at the start for how many it is. And this book follows expedition number 12 into Area X. And when you get in there, things aren't quite as they seem, and reality becomes under attack from weird stuff, and other stuff happens, and other stuff. Again, it's one of those weird things that you kind of go, well, how much of this is reality? And it first starts off as like, oh, okay, there's probably some alien stuff in here, and we've been sent in to investigate. However, the group is led by a psychologist, and the psychologist, we learn quite early on, hypnotizes people to get them in and out of it. So straight away, you're like, oh, are these people hypnotized? Have they been hypnotized? Are they still hypnotized? And we realize that plays a big part of the what is real, what is not real, when the characters themselves are never quite sure if they are still hypnotized or not hypnotized, or how much they've been hypnotized to believe stuff in the past and how much they haven't been. And also we soon learn that the psychologist who leads the group knows more than they do and is kind of controlling like what happens, like, and they've not been told everything that is known about Area X. And then other things happen, and again, it's one of those things that every like two chapters or every chapter, you're suddenly like, oh, and now something else is happening, which makes me think, oh, that's not going on. That, you know, what's going on isn't going on, or what shouldn't be going on is going on. And this reminds me very much, actually, of the setup of two books and actually movies, both Tarkovsky movies. Roadside Picnic, which I reviewed here, by Arkady and Boris Strugatsky, which was made into a movie called Stalker, which is then a video game, which I've never played, also called Stalker. And that has these, you know, areas which have been touched by alien technology or alien reality-bending technology. And people go in there and there's like a, there's, you know, some people go in and they make their way through and it's very dangerous and some people don't make it out, but the people who do make it out have been changed in some way. And so that is, you know, a kind of a very... seemingly I wouldn't want to say an obvious influence on the Southern Reach trilogy, or at least this first book of the Southern Reach trilogy. But for me, that is, you know, I'm not saying this is what Jeff Vandermeer has read or has seen in the movie. And that is one of the main influences, but it feels a lot like that. So, but then that kind of is thrown into sort of like, it's kind of confirmed that, yes, he has seen that movie or he has read that book. Because the other book which this brings to mind very, very much so is Solaris, because there is this weird alien-ish style, maybe alien, I don't know, entirely sure, but a kind of other intelligence which is trying to communicate with humans, maybe, and humans are going in there to learn about it, but also at the same time, while they are experimenting on the alienness, is experimenting back on them, even to the point where in Solaris, Solaris itself makes new humans for, like, makes human things, human constructs, for us real humans to interact with, for the alien to get to know us. And it's kind of makes it even more difficult for the humans to get to know the alien, because they want to see the alien, you know, they want to kind of make a something as alien as possible but still understandable as human, to go and talk to that, or to go and talk to the alien, whereas the alien is trying to do the same thing. So they're kind of getting in the way of each other's experiments on each other's, and that's the kind of same thing which seems to be happening here, certainly with the constructs of, you know, making fake humans to send out into the I wouldn't say send out into the world, but to interact with real humans. So Roadside Picnic and Solaris by Stanislav Lem, two big influences. But also this same kind of thing happens, because there's this thing, it's like, is it really alien, or is it a like a military or like a scientific experiment gone wrong which has bent space and time and opened up a rift? You know, it seems to be kind of a human cause, maybe, or is it at the root of this whole thing? So that reminds me of something like Fire in the Abyss by Stuart Gordon, which is a book I reviewed very, very early on in the Science Fiction Book Review podcast, where this thing happens and everyone goes, wow, that was really weird, it's all weird, how is it? And then you realize, oh, maybe it was the US military all along. And also Half-Life, the computer game, where all these aliens, this is actually quite a Half-Life-y kind of book, where you know, it starts off and it's like boom and everything goes crazy and there's different life forms and reality is being bent and space-time is being bent, maybe, and or is it? And, you know, the humanity is being subsumed into, I wouldn't say subsumed, but like the biological strata of Area X is being manipulated in ways, in very interesting ways. There's different life forms which you've not seen before, and the way that they interact is different from before. Another book that this really brings home is one that I actually just read, and I'm waiting for Juliana to read and to finish so we can review it together, which is Blindsight by Peter Watts. In the same way that, okay, there is this alien thing there, and we're going to talk to it and try and talk to it, we're going to try and communicate with it, but at the same time, things aren't quite as they seem. And I don't want to give away too much with that. But what I did like about Blindsight is that they have these different characters. There's the linguist character. There's the psychologist character, which I guess is a vampire in that book. You've got the military person, you know, like all these different scientific people who all get together and, you know, there's a biologist. And it's the same thing here as well. And I remember actually, now I come to think of it, the Sphere. Is it The Sphere by Michael Crichton? And, you know, there's all these different experts, plus the psychologist is the person who controls the group and leads the group. And it's the same thing here in this Expedition Number 12 into Area X is four females scientists. And we never get to know their names, which I'll get into in a second. And it started off with a linguist, an anthropologist, a surveyor, a biologist, and a psychologist. The linguist doesn't actually make it into Area X. She gets left behind at the border. So then we have, yes, the biologist, who is the narrator. We see everything through her journal entries. And then there's the psychologist, who is the leader, who's the person who hypnotizes them as they go across the border, and maybe later, or maybe not later. And then there's the surveyor, and the surveyor is also someone who she is the military person as well. So she carries the machine gun, which is really cool. And the anthropologist, who doesn't make it that far into the book. That's not spoiling it. It's pretty much said right at the beginning. So what is interesting about this is that not only do they all have titles, but they don't have names. We have to get to know them all as their role in the book, and this is very, it seems to be very clear, intentional by the Southern Reach, the agency which is sending in these expeditions. And at first I wasn't quite sure, but you know, my theory is that they want to study this this Area X, this alienness that is there, and they know more than we do, and they know more than the narrator does as well. But what I'm thinking is that they want it to be a controlled experiment. They know that the group isn't going in there to be to do experiments and to find stuff out and to do surveying. What they're actually being sent in there, they are the experiment. You know, each of the people who are being sent in, each of the groups that are being sent in, is the experiment. And so I'm guessing that they want to make it as a controlled experiment as possible, and they kind of try and strip away the personalities and the identifying marks. It's like, last time we sent in a female biologist, this time we're sending in a male biologist, and the next time we'll send in a female biologist, and we'll see, you know, what the differences are. But by removing their names, by removing their personal identifiers, that kind of makes it more controlled. And I guess there's other reasons, which I don't want to get into for spoiler reasons too. Each one of these people becomes like a role, a cipher, I'm not sure. As they face the alienness of it, flashbacks to previous relationship issues between the biologist, our narrator, and her husband come back. And that, again, reminds me of quite a few of these books, certainly Blindsight, where, you know, as the alienness gets bigger and bigger, it starts reflecting more and more on the previous relationships and bringing previous relationship issues to life. And the biologist, our protagonist, is very much I wouldn't say in the same line as the protagonist of Blindsight, but he grows up like with a kind of like half lobotomized but super autistic, and she grows up kind of autistic, or maybe not autistic, but certainly on that spectrum a little bit. you know, and there's really interesting passages where, like, her husband is saying, oh, once I get through this exterior, I'll find more inside and you'll be the interesting person. And she was like, no, when you get through my exterior, this is me. This is all I am. You know, there is nothing more inside. And she has to kind of piece together how to interact with humans and how to interact with, you know, people not like her who just stare through microscopes and catalog frogs in swimming pools. And that kind of, again, reminded me of Blindsight. So, but not in a bad way. I think in a very good way. This is exactly my kind of book. So more cool stuff in this book. I really like the hypnotic control. Again, I don't want to go in too much into it because it's one of those things that is a bit of a spoilerific if I talk too much about that. But that's quite interesting. The level of technology. Now, this is what I noticed straight away. It's like, oh, they're going in and they making notes in journals. And I was like, well, is this science fiction? It feels kind of the start. It kind of feels futuristic, not so much like alternate history. And I wasn't quite sure what it was, but they had these guns and they didn't seem very good. I was like, why are they keeping notes? Why aren't they just, you know, using technology? And why have they got a camera which isn't a digital camera? There's a portable dark room. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's because higher technology doesn't work. But even the people who are going in, the different characters in Expedition 12, they weren't quite sure of it. And at one point someone says, this gun is made of 30-year-old gun parts. Like, there's nothing new. We're not bringing in anything new. And so that makes me think that, you know, nothing is allowed in or nothing works in there which was created, like, after Area X came about. So everything had to be at least 30 years old or made at least 30 years ago to kind of work and to exist, which kind of, again, throws into doubt the whole, like, what is the timeline? Where is this based? Is it fantasy? Is it science fiction? What's actually going on here? So, yes, the chemical cameras, the old weapons, yeah, writing on paper. What else is good? Not having names. Yeah, I've mentioned that before as well. Oh, also the idea of writing in a journal. Now, a lot of times it's like, oh, and now we'll write in this journal. It's like, well, when are you writing this journal? And it's never really quite clear. What I really liked about this book is that not only is there time, it's not just like, and now this is the journal. It's like the journal is used so well, like the journal writing style as a framing device is used really well. And it even says at one point, oh, and then I spent these days writing this in the journal. And I was like, okay, that makes sense that someone could have actually written, you know, how long is this book? Let me just look on Goodreads here. I have that web page open. So yeah, 195 pages. I'm like, yeah, you could knock out a journal like this and write it down. But not just that, but the idea of journaling and keeping a journal, not just the unreliable narrator kind of aspect of that, but actually in the book, the physical journals become a major plot point, which is very spooky and very weird and very interesting to me. But I don't want to give it too much away. What didn't I like about this? Actually, there was only one thing that I didn't like that much about this book, which is the narrator, Carolyn McCormick. She is very deadpan. And at the start, it kind of annoyed me a bit how little she was, felt like she was putting any effort into it. It was just like, and now this, and now that, and now this. But later on, I realized, you need to do this, because if this book is, like, the narrator, first of all, like I said before, is slightly lower key, our biologist, slightly low key. Again, maybe not autistic, but sort of like a very reserved kind of person who is who's not very outgoing. And I thought, well, maybe that's why it's a bit flat. I could have done with it a little bit less, even though I understand the reasons for it. But what annoyed me so much is some of the weird pauses. It felt like, and I was getting to the end of a line and then reading back to the other part of the line. And then other times when there is the end of a sentence and the next one should begin, there's no pause between them. And sometimes even at the issue, it feels like at the end of a chapter, then the next chapter begins, chapter next. And some of that kind of the pauses, the pacing of the book annoyed me. Sometimes I was like, just at the end of a sentence or paragraph, pause, but don't pause when you get to the end of the line of the book. And then you're going back and going back to the left-hand side of the page or turning the page. And some other things which was a bit annoying. Maybe it's just the different pronunciations of different accents or different countries, but if something doesn't live very long, I would say it's short-lived, but she said short-lived, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me. Is something short-lived or is it short-lived? And there's other words, like I made a note of it, the thing before the end one, I would call it the penultimate one. But she said it's the pen ultimate or the pen ultimate. And I'm just like, no, it's not pen ultimate. There's no pause in between pen and ultimate. And I was like, is that just a bad pronunciation? Or was there a hyphen at the end of the line and then you had to go back to the left side of the page and continue on the next one? I'm not entirely sure. So I did have some issues with the reading, but mostly it was good. Mostly the reading was good. And it wasn't a very long audiobook, actually. Maybe I should look it up here on my phone to see actually how long the audiobook is. Because it was a very brisk, I would say, read, but a very brisk listen.
This is Audible.
Oh, this is Audible. No, it doesn't say. How much of the book I have left. That's really annoying. I should have probably checked that beforehand and before wasting that time. Anyway, yeah, so it's about 6.5 hours, 7 hours long audiobook, which is a perfect length of audiobook, and I really look forward to getting to the next one. I think that's it. I'll talk more about the themes of the book, but really, this is the first book of a series of three. There are lots of things that I don't know. There are lots of things that kind of annoyed me about, well, not annoyed me, but kind of made me think, oh, I wish I knew this. Like, I wouldn't say annoyed me, but infuriated me. Let me put it that way. But in a good way, a good infuriation to make me think, ah, there's stuff going on here, which I know the author has worked out because this book all came out at the same time or, you know, pretty much at the same time. It's not like, I guess, the movie Lost where they go, okay, we have this mystery. And then 7 years later, they're like, oh, yeah, we should probably wrap up that mystery. I've never seen the end of Lost. I watched the first season, enjoyed it, didn't go on to the second. Yeah, what am I trying to say? Yeah, I think the mysteries are all there, and maybe the mysteries will be revealed by the end, and it might be like I get to the end of all three parts and it's still just as mysterious as it was at the beginning. But I kind of got a feeling that like the mysteries which were revealed in this one, or the stories which were revealed in this one about the lighthouse keeper and about the relationship with the biologist and the husband and what happens to the people going in there and what happened to the previous expeditions, all of these things, these questions are being answered. The only thing that we're not getting is like, who is the Southern Reach? What is Area X? How did it come about? And maybe a bit more of the motifs of the alienness that is in there. What I really enjoyed about this is that I'm still not sure if it's science fiction or if it's fantasy. I guess that's why Jeff Vandermeer is considered like a weird science fiction or a weird writer. He doesn't fit into science fiction or fantasy or horror. This is very horrific, but kind of like in a psychological thriller kind of stuff, and also kind of a body horror thing. The things that happen to the people in there, and you know, and also just the general kind of, I wouldn't say a slasher horror, but it's sort of like, okay, you know, five people start on this expedition, and it says right at the beginning, but it doesn't matter about their names, even though I don't know the names, because soon there was only two of us left. And I was like, oh, which two are going to be left? Of course, the narrator, maybe. And then one of the others. And who will be the one of the others who actually survives? And that kind of plays with the expectations of what's going to happen in the book as well. So, yeah, science fiction, not sure. Fantasy, kind of. Horror, yes, it's a big mix of lots of stuff that I like. But in the same way, like I say, as Solaris or Blindsight, which I guess Blindsight is kind of a play on Solaris as well, or like another approach of that first contact. This isn't really first contact. I guess for the people coming into contact with Area X, it's first contact for them. But I guess the first contact happened previously, and like I say, now there is an alienness, and I don't even know if the alienness is a human created one or an alien created one or a magic created one. And that, I think that's a really interesting vibe that I get from the end of the book, that I'm still not sure of the genre of the book when I get to the end. Is it magic? Maybe. Is it technology? Maybe. Is it alien technology indistinguishable from magic? Maybe. Not sure. So yes, is it all just a virus? Is it all just in the protagonist's head? was it all just hypnotic suggestion? Do we have a very, very, very unreliable narrator? Not entirely sure. I think it's a good mix of all of those things. So anyway, I'm going to give this book. I was thinking of giving it like 4 stars, but then I was thinking, well, it's only the first book in a series, and it kind of depends on what is going to happen later to reflect on it. But I think, for my reading experience, I'm going to give it 4 stars, and then we'll see if the rating for book number 2, which is called, we have Annihilation, book number 2, Authority, and book number 3, Acceptance. Hopefully I'll finish these off before the end of the year, and you can see where my my reading takes me in this series. So that's it from me. Email me, luke@juggler.net. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burge on Twitter. And also you can become my friends on Goodreads, which is a great way for me to know what you think of these books. Here we go. Jenny from Reading Envy, she gives it 5 stars on Goodreads. Mikael, 5 stars. Estelle, 2 stars. Meh, didn't work for me. I couldn't connect to the main character and found the story rather dull. Just never grabbed my interest. Shame, I was expecting to really like it. Johan, 4 stars. Terence, 4 stars. Ryan, 4 stars. So it seems like quite a lot of people enjoy this book. A few people, yeah. There was only one person, only one of my friends on Goodreads gave it 2 stars. Everyone else gave it a much higher review. 4.21 average of SFBRP listeners here on Goodreads.com. So check out Goodreads and become my friend. And also check out the SFBRP listener group. Suggest books through there. Like I say, if enough people get together on the books I would like to see reviewed thread and then tell me to read a book, I will read it. I do succumb to peer pressure, I guess. Yeah, that's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.